This is your warlord of weird, Sin Bodhi. Look both ways before you cross the street while you're skating on thin ice carrying scissors. You're listening to The Final Count.
Hi, this is former WWE superstar Kieran Cross, and you're listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE and TNA Impact superstar Mike Knox, a.k.a. Nux. You are listening to The Final Count. Keep it tuned.
Hey everybody, Anthony Corelli here, formerly known as Santino Morella, and you are listening to The Final Count.
Yo, peeps, you're listening to The Final Count with my boy Ryan right there, bro. So listen, don't forget who's telling you this. It's your boy, Eric.
Hello everybody, it's the Croc Rockin', Nickelback Poppin', Curls for All the Girls, the Perminator, Sam Beal, as seen on Impact Wrestling, and you are listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE superstar Victor, and you are listening to The Final Count.
That's right, guys. It is The Final Count, and I'm Ryan, joined by my co-host.
I'm Brian.
All right. And Brian, how you doing this week?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Shoot, what a week it's been. For those that have not seen the title of our show this week, it's Survivor Clobbering Time. What an awesome week it's been in the wrestling world. If you didn't get that based on the name of the show, you've been sleeping under a rock or something this week. But it's been an amazing week in the wrestling world. It's been awesome. We've had three major surprises. The major one being R-Truth.
Yeah, come on now. R-Truth is great.
Yeah, he really is. He really is. And then we'll get into the other two here in a little bit when we talk about Survivor Series. But first off, this week, we're going to talk about last week's Friday Night SmackDown, the night before Survivor Series War Games. And so here we go. We started out SmackDown last week. Bayley comes out and she plays Becky and Charlotte Flair against each other. She tries to, basically put them against each other. She talks about how she never thought she would see the day that Becky and Charlotte are fighting the good fight together. She mentions how she has known them for over 10 years. She goes on to mention when she would ride the roads with Becky and any conversation they would have, she would take a dig at Charlotte. And then Charlotte would do the same, taking a dig at Becky in any conversation they would have. And then she questions if she is the only one to realize being a mom has made the man soft. And sees how Becky seems to be okay with being the last person picked for the women's War Games team. And then she goes on to, talk about how War Games, it's the most brutal match of all time, and that you need a total cohesive unit, and talks about how damage control is a cohesive unit. Team Bianca questions why is Bayley even out there alone. Becky says she didn't come to Chicago to talk, but came looking for a fight. Becky says how about two members of Team Damage Control versus Becky and Charlotte. Later in the night, Bayley accepts and says it's going to implode tonight instead of waiting till Survivor Series. And so what a hot way to kick off last week's SmackDown, giving us a teaser before Survivor Series last week. What a way to kick off SmackDown. What are your thoughts on that?
Like I said, I didn't catch much of it, if any, of SmackDown, but I've seen bits and pieces. I just want to point out that there's going to be a face turn coming from Damage Control.
Oh yeah, we
and that face turn coming is going to be Bayley.
Yeah, that's going to be Bayley.
So nobody knows when, but near future, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee. Like we talked about last week, for sure, it's gonna happen. We get the Judgment Day in a match against the Street Profits, and they retain the tag team championships over the Street Profits. Really, no surprise there. The Judgment Day, picks up a win going into Survivor Series War Games. Then we got Finn Balor with the coup de grace for the count. He picked up the win. He hit the coup de grace for the count of three and the win. Then we got Kevin Owens and LA Knight take over the Grayson Waller effect.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
You really do. You really do.
We do that at work.
Kevin Owens says he should punch both Waller and Theory in the face at the same time. Waller points out that there is two of them, and Kevin is by himself, so they should beat Owens up. Waller mentions he owes Owens one after he cost him his match 2 weeks ago against LA Knight. Waller says 10 times out of 10, without Owens, he would have beat LA Knight. Owens says, you know what happens when you keep saying somebody's name? To which Waller, confused, asks what Owens is talking about. And Theory says, I think he's talking about LA Knight. Boom, LA Knight's music hits. Brings LA Knight out to the ring. Knight mentions how they talked about Owens, thinking he wouldn't be there, and then they started talking about Knight. So they got caught again. They thought that he wasn't going to be there, too. And so, you run your mouth, it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Waller and Theory suggest they should punch Owens and Knight first, but they take their time. Owens and Knight throw the first punches, and a brawl takes place, clearing Theory and Waller from the ring. And the Waller effect set is thrown from the ring as well. Great segment right there. Very entertaining segment right there with the four men. And actually, all these four men work well together in they segments do. Like that.
Yes. LA Knight is so great on the microphone.
Yeah, definitely. They are all so great on the mic. This actually leads into a tag team match. Kevin Owens and LA Knight versus Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Owens with the stunner on Waller and Knight with the BFT on Theory for the win. And might I say that BFT is a devastating maneuver, a devastating finisher. And I love it. A blunt force.
Sorry, combo. If I got back into wrestling, I would steal that. But,
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
It's pretty sick.
We got Santos Escobar injures Carlito's arm in a brawl. Santos comes out saying Ray and LWO was his family. And if it wasn't for Carlito, an outsider, his family would still be together. And let me just say, he's not wrong about that. Because Carlito was brought in. Why can't you just have Ray brought Carlito in? Why can't you just have Santino? I mean, Santos, easy for me to say. Why can't you just have Santos and stick with your family? So Carlito's an outsider, according to Santos Escobar. He says it's because of Carlito that Ray is not healthy. Ray can't walk. Ray's career is over, and he will never come back, and it's because of Carlito. This starts a huge brawl where, in the process, Carlito's arm is injured at the hands of Santos Escobar. So then we go to commercial break, and back from the commercial break, backstage, Dragon Lee ends up going to Nick Aldis and saying, hey, let me take Carlito's place if he's injured, if his arm's injured, if he can no longer compete. Because backstage, Santos is continuing to attack Carlito. When Dragon Lee makes a save and then brawls with Santos, SmackDown GM Nick Aldis informs us in an interview with Caleb Braxton that Carlito is hurt and badly. and in no condition to compete at Survivor Series War Games the next night, and the match would have to be postponed. Dragon Lee appears and asks Aldis to please not postpone the match, that he wants to teach Santos a lesson, and asks Aldis to put him in the match, to which Aldis says, "You're in," and they shake hands on it. And so we'll get into that match with Survivor Series here in just a few moments. But yeah, Dragon Lee stepping up and defending, you know, Rey's honor and defending Carlito's honor as well in the process. So definitely Dragon Lee here. And I love that, you know, I love that they're putting Dragon Lee as, they're building him up, you know.
Right.
Building him up as, like, could he possibly be the next Rey Mysterio? You know, it might be too early to say that, but I think he's got a chance. I really think he's got a chance, yeah. And I like him. He kind of reminds me of Ultimo Dragon, if you remember Ultimo Dragon.
Yep.
Definitely kind of reminds me of him. Or even guys like the Metal Master from OVW back in the day. Kind of reminds me of him as well. And so, definitely for sure reminds me of Ultimo Dragon for sure. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see Dragon Lee and what all, you know, where he goes from here after this match with Santos that happened at Survivor Series. So then we got Ridge Holland abandons Butch against Pretty Deadly. The Yes Boys. Ridge Holland, after 10 beats of the bar of the bottom, doesn't go their way, walks out on Butch, leaving him to finish the match against Pretty Deadly. Kit Wilson blind tags Elton Prince and rolls up Butch, and Pretty Deadly takes the win here. Not really much to talk about, but the big picture is there's obviously trouble in the brawling groups.
Can we just take Butch and turn him back to Pete Dunne? Please. Yeah,
right, exactly.
Please.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a phenomenal athlete, phenomenal superstar.
He really is. And I have to question, where's Sheamus? We need Sheamus back to possibly, like, pick up the pieces, fix everything together.
But you just know, take Butch with Pete Dunne and make him a top heel again.
Yeah. No, okay. we get Wentz and Flair are backstage and they're arguing. Lynch's argument with Flair leads to Damage Control attacking. Actually, this is in the ring, attacking Charlotte, rather. Charlotte spears Asuka onto Becky Lynch. Becky and Charlotte begin to have words. From behind, Bayley pushes Becky into Charlotte, rolling up Becky and Asuka, and Bayley pick up the win. Asuka and Bayley pick up the win here. SmackDown goes off the air with Becky and Charlotte having words, and Bianca and Shotzi trying to bring them back together. Right the night before Survivor Series War Games. The biggest match of their lives right here the next night. And with that being said, we're going to go right into talking about Survivor Series.
I just got to say, hands down, one of the best pay-per-views this year.
Oh, yeah. No.
From top to bottom. And you started with the women's War Games match, which I would thought would be the main event. But I read something after that night, and the women's War Games match, believe it or not, was the most viewed opening match other than WrestleMania.
Wow. No, I didn't know that.
I was shocked. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
They put on one heck of a match.
They sure did. Like, no, that match was awesome.
And, of course, my prediction got wrong. I had Damage Control winning, but...
That match was awesome. And I believe, I might have to go back and look again, but I believe I predicted the same, I believe. So,
yeah. I think you took Team Bianca.
Did I take? Yeah, I might have, yeah.
I think so.
And then so with let's go ahead and break down these matches here with Survivor Series.
Now, the Rhea and Zoe match. I'm not going in any particular order with these matches, but
yeah,
you got to give it to Zoe Stark for hanging in the ring with Rhea.
Yes.
But you can't bet against Rhea. Come on now.
No, you can't.
She has grown so much in the years, character-wise, superstar-wise, everything. But that match was probably, I don't know, if we're going to rate it, 9.5 out of 10.
Definitely. And Zoe Stark's in this match really, again, like you said, did prove that, hey, she can hang with Rhea. And so could we see more of Rhea and Zoe in the future? You know, I'd love to see it, you know.
Absolutely. Speaking of Dragon Lee and Santos.
Yeah.
Decent match. Really Santos was. Got the W, right? Santos won.
Yeah, Santos won the match. Yeah.
After he tried ripping the mask off.
Yeah.
Showing the disrespect of the culture. But all in all, it was a good match.
That one was a really good match. Again, definitely a lot of spots in that match. And great match right there. Yeah.
Let's see. Gunther and The Miz. Where do we start with that one?
Yeah.
Incredible. That's all I got to say. Miz is incredible on the mic, but he's actually a good performer.
No, yeah.
Gunther's just a beast. And his incredible weight transformation, like, nobody's seen that coming. And his boys didn't get involved. That was a shocker.
Yeah. No, his transformation is like, it is so amazing. The weight loss and just the build that he's gotten from the losing of the weight, that's really awesome. Great for him. And yeah, I agree with you on The Miz. The Miz, he's phenomenal on the mic. But his in-ring work is completely, I feel kind of honestly underrated in some cases.
Do you see, while we're on this topic, do you see Gunther going into WrestleMania as Intercontinental Champion? If so, who do you see dropping the title to?
You know what? That's a good question. I'm going to go ahead and bet on him. You know, bet on him. And I really would love to see, because I know it's been talked about. I don't know if you've heard or not, but the talks of him and Brock Lesnar. I would love to see that. And then build Gunther as the next, maybe the next Brock Lesnar, the next big thing. Whatever you could come up with as better than the next big thing. Give that moniker to Gunther and just let him run with it and see where he goes with it, see how he does with it, because he's already dominant right now with this Intercontinental title reign. And he does have a great in-ring presence as well.
Can we talk about his chops?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I thought Cash Flow from OVW has some chops. Man. Man. Definitely. I'm going to get into that awesome return here in a little bit. Team Cody versus Judgment Day. What an incredible match.
Incredible, yeah. And this is the one where we thought it was going to be before the women. But now I can see why they did this the way they did.
And talk about, there wasn't that many weapons used. And it was like a full-on physical match.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, you had Damian and them standing in the ring. They was waiting for Orton to come out. And then he's flagging down, and Rhea comes out with the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
And as soon as she gets to the ring, boom, Randy Orton music hits.
Yeah.
And here he comes.
Yeah.
Looking jacked. He has gotten big. When I seen him, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, he looks different. Yeah.
This dude's been in the gym.
He really has. And I love the story that they were telling throughout the night. it kind of was like, not that the whole pay-per-view was built around Orton, but it kind of sort of was. Because it was like you had the backstage segments of, and even before the show even started on the kickoff show, they was talking about, you know, is Orton going to be here? Orton's not here yet. Is he going to make it? Is he going to be here? And so I love, even as far as even into the match, when the match had already, you know, before the actual War Games part of the match started, before every guy was in there, before all 10 guys were in there, you still had, is Orton going to be here? The commentary was talking about, he's not here yet. Is he actually going to show up? You know, so I love that.
And then, come on, the RKO off the top of the cage.
Yeah.
That's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's all I could say. Even though the phenomenal one didn't return. Right. And then we didn't get Shinsuke.
And we didn't.
But,
well, we found out why on Raw, which we'll get to in a little bit. But let me point out another thing here about Randy Orton. And you talked about this, you brought this up last week about Jey Uso. I love that they played the story with Jey Uso. And Jey Uso, sure enough, he did show. He was like, you know, he had that look of worry.
He was like,
yeah.
Just kind of like side at him.
Yeah, side, exactly, side eyeing. And, you know, he kind of, I guess, earned Orton's trust, or I guess that's the way to say it. But he definitely earned flowers with Orton.
Exactly, absolutely.
And so, like, yeah, and I love that they played that and showed that out and told that story there between the two of them.
And I don't know if you caught it or not, or many people caught it, the viewers. I don't know if you guys caught it, but at the end of the match when Cody hugged Randy, Randy went like this and said, thanks for the call. Yeah. Told Cody, thanks for the call. And for Cody to be in that match and Cody to get the pinfall in a match that his dad created.
Yeah.
Come on now. The storytelling here with Cody ever since he came back has just been phenomenal.
No, exactly. It really has.
Speaking of Cody, do you see him finishing the story at WrestleMania 40?
Yes. I most certainly.
Or do you see Roman Reigns going another year?
What was that?
Or do you see Roman Reigns going another year?
No, not another year.
I think he's dropping it at WrestleMania.
I want him to drop it to Cody at Mania. Some people are saying CM Punk, which is, sorry, Aries.
We'll get into that. Spoiler alert.
But yeah, some people are already saying that's going to be the match.
Who's that? Who's CM Punk?
But I want to see Cody.
I want to see Cody finish the story.
And finish the story, absolutely. Yeah.
And then you got many dream matches after that with Cody.
Yeah. Course.
You got Orton, you got The Return, you got AJ Styles, you got Sheamus, you've got Miz, you've got Rollins, you've got Lashley. I mean, the list just goes on and on.
It does. It really does.
All right. So, are you ready for the big return? So, at the calm of the storm, all the wrestlers, superstars are still in the ring. It pans out, and all you see is the cage and the two rings. Then you hear the static, and here comes CM Punk. Didn't think he was coming back, because there was talks he was going to sign with TNA.
Yeah.
And Daniel spoke on this a little bit. Shout out Daniel Spencer.
Yeah.
He spoke on this a little bit on his podcast, because, of course, he works for TNA. And OVW. But I was like, that's interesting. And to know it was exactly 10 years.
Yeah.
To the time he was last in WWE.
Yeah.
I love Punk. Punk, this is something else Daniel then pointed out, and a lot of people. He don't look as old as he did when he was in AEW.
You know what?
He looks like a younger, fresh Punk, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just stuff like that we can pick out.
No, definitely. It really is. I'm glad you brought that up, too, because, yeah, thinking about that, yeah, they did point that out. And yeah, after going back and watching again, I'm like, you know what? I can see that now. You know,
yeah, I went back on TikTok and watched some clips. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, you could actually see. I don't know if it's, like, the cameras or the quality. Or...
He looks happier.
Yes, for sure.
And so, like, what a Survivor Series that was. Like,
I give that a 10 out of 10, hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down. The one last year was phenomenal, too, but this one, just all the storytelling in every single match.
Definitely.
No bad matches.
100%. 100%. And then from there, we got Monday Night Raw.
Let's start with the Rhea and Randy segment. Just something I captured from that, like, Rhea's great on the mic. Orton's great on the mic. It's great to have both of them in the ring. Excuse me. And then Randy was speaking upon mommy this, mommy that, mommy this, mommy that. Well, Rhea, guess what? Daddy's home. Or daddy's back, however he said it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, it's so great seeing Orton back.
It really is. And yeah, I love that he said that daddy's home. And like, just the way he said it too, like, you know, like, that's Orton right there. That's really Orton right there.
And then he told Dominic, stay your little ass right there and don't go nowhere.
Yeah.
So. And then we had the tag team turmoil. Who was it? It was Creed Brothers, Alpha Academy. I don't remember all the teams.
And this is for what I believe it was number one
contendership. Number one contendership for the tag team titles. That's the only two teams I know that was in it. Creed Brothers, New Day.
Yeah.
Alpha Academy. Who else was it?
Viking Raiders, I believe. Who is?
Yeah, well, no, because
Viking Raiders was a part of it too.
Eric is injured, so it's just Ivar.
That's right. That's right.
But anyways, the Creed brothers pick up the win in the tag team turmoil match to become number one contenders.
Yeah.
Not a big.
And the Creed brothers, I'm so glad to see them up, up to the main roster.
I wasn't a big fan of them, but they grew on me.
Yeah.
I love the Creed brothers. I'm glad they're on the main roster now, where they belong.
They kind of remind me of an old school, well, not really old school, but with just their gear and everything, and the kind of like amateur wrestling background that they have, kind of like Brock Lesnar and Shelton Benjamin, right. Minnesota Stretching Crew from OVW, or when they were in OVW, and then also if you think about Team Angle with
Charlie Haas, Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
Phenomenal tag team.
Yes. World's greatest, some would say.
Hey. And you got the, not going in any order here. Because this kind of falls, this segment kind of falls together, if you should say. Cody addresses his War Games victory. And all of that, he addresses CM Punk's return, and he declares he's the first one to enter the Royal Rumble. Will he get it again? Maybe, maybe not.
I feel like with Cody declaring himself to be the first entrant in the Royal Rumble, I feel like, you know, yes, I want to see him get to Roman. And there's still a way if he doesn't win the Rumble again. Because I don't want to see him win it 2 years in a row. I don't know. That's just me.
Maybe like a few years later, but not, not back to back.
Yeah. So here's what I see them doing. Right now, I don't know who you would have to win the Rumble. We can talk about that later. But I do see going the next PLE pay-per-view, whatever you want to call it, after the Rumble, Elimination Chamber. I do see maybe have a number one contendership Elimination Chamber match. That's your key to Cody winning and going on to WrestleMania.
True, maybe I didn't think about that.
The Rumble.
I didn't think about that. I forgot about the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. And then you got, at the end of Cody's segment, the lights go out. Shinsuke appears on the screen. And Shinsuke basically said he's coming for Cody. And then the lights go out again, and Shinsuke's in the ring and hits Cody with a red mist. It's going to be a great feud. Love Shinsuke. Yeah.
Cody and Shinsuke. That's going to be really, and it's going to be something that can keep Cody busy for now. At least, you know, for the next month or so, maybe even at Royal Rumble, have a match before the actual Rumble match. I don't know how you would do that, or just have the match before. It's been done before. I mean, just have a match before the Rumble match, and then then work matches on Raw. So for sure. And then you could also put Shinsuke in the Elimination Chamber match too. So you can continue that feud there as well.
I've always liked Shinsuke since he showed up in WWE. I didn't watch much of his stuff in Japan, but ever since he's been in WWE, some of his best work is in NXT. Hands down.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they're bringing him back up as like a main superstar.
His run as NXT champion, oh my goodness. Phenomenal. It was really phenomenal.
Absolutely. Then you had Big Bronson Reed versus Ivar. Two behemoths in one ring.
Bronson Reed is a beast.
Yes. I'm a big fan. There's something that I want to point out at the closing of talking about Monday Night Raw that I found very interesting and very, like, I don't know how to put it. Made my heart feel good for this guy. But, that ended in a double count out. It was both on the outside of the ring beating the holy crap out of each other. And did you see the way Bronson threw him into the steel chairs?
Yes.
In the timekeeping area? I was like, oh. It's like, I've been hit with a chair before. It's not fun. Don't feel good.
I've never been hit with one, but
it don't feel good, and neither does getting put through a table. Trust me.
Don't want to feel either.
Trust me, it does not feel good. I asked to have it done, so.
Oh, wow.
How about the Zoe Stark versus Nia Jax match?
Yes. Again, Zoe Stark here.
I wasn't a big fan of her, but like, she's starting to grow on me. Like, for being little, she's a hell of a star.
She really is. She really is.
So, I see a world title in her future.
Most definitely, yeah. No, I agree. I definitely agree.
Whether it be the women's title or the world women's championship. Didn't Nia Jax pick up that W in that match?
I believe so, yes. Yeah.
And can we talk about the incredible weight loss of Nia Jax?
Yes.
Looking phenomenal.
Certainly is looking phenomenal, yeah.
And I think she's actually going to do something this stint in her WWE. Since coming back, she's actually going to work out.
Yeah.
Instead of legit injuring superstars.
Yeah.
Exactly. There for a while, she was hurting a lot of people. We'll take this into the McIntyre and Rollins segment. How can you go wrong with these two? McIntyre came a long way. Long, long way. To where you had him in WWE at young age being the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes off owns his own craft and other companies, and then comes back jacked and better than ever. I wish 2020 didn't happen, because his title run in front of people would have been phenomenal.
Same, yeah.
It sucks, like he said, that he had a win in front of nobody. Maybe down the road he'll get that World Heavyweight Championship.
Definitely. I'd love to see him get his big moment in front of a crowd, for sure.
I love having a champion that actually defends their title. Don't get me wrong. I love Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And the whole storyline that he's got going.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good having, like, a main title on Monday Night Raw and somebody that actually wants to defend it and is a babyface for now. Like, I love Rollins, always like Rollins, always will. Heel or babyface, don't matter.
Of course, exactly. Same here.
And then McIntyre hits him with a headbutt, and it busts McIntyre's head open. And I don't know how to put it. It's just the magic just works together with those two.
Yeah, I know, it really does. They work so well and mesh well together.
And then you had Randy Orton versus Dirty Dominic Mysterio. It was a decent match. Dominic's decent in the ring. I like to see him work on his mic skills, but in the ring, he's got it. I mean, aside of all the storyline and stuff, look who his dad is.
Yeah.
He got all that training when he was little. He played in the storyline of Eddie and Ray in that ladder match of custody of Dominic.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember that. But yeah, and I think he actually trains superstars. Like, I think he has his own ring and stuff. Yeah. You know who FaZe Rug is?
No, I'm not.
FaZe Rug, okay, so I know this is something different, but he's a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's real big on internet and stuff.
Yeah.
And he went and trained with Dominic just to see how it was. And, like, Dominic had his spare gear and made FaZe made Rug earn his gear. So it made him earn the pants, and then it made him earn the vest, and then made him earn the mask.
You know what? I think I saw that YouTube video on YouTube a while back. Yeah.
But I could see Dominic being United States or Intercontinental Champion down the road.
Definitely. I love his work, and I love how he's genuinely hated by the fans.
Come on now. You can't go wrong with that much heat.
He generally has, genuinely has that heat. And it really is, you can see Eddie Guerrero in him.
Absolutely.
Really him. Just as much as his dad's in him, you can definitely see Eddie in him.
Yep.
And he oozes Latino heat as well, as far as that goes, as far as the being comparable to Eddie. He definitely
hits a beautiful frog splash like Eddie did.
Yeah, he really does. He's got the whole total package. As could be, like, he really could legit be Eddie's son. Yep. Like, I mean, maybe we need a rematch.
Hey, never know.
Ray versus Dominic.
That was a good match at Mania with those two.
Yeah, I know, that really was. That really was a good match between them. Completely agree.
And then you have the returning of back to Monday Night Raw of the one and only CM Punk. That is his home. Monday Night Raw is CM Punk's home. Especially after what we've seen on Friday Night SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
So, just know Monday Night Raw is CM Punk's home. Like I said, it's great to see him after 10 years back in WWE, back on Monday Night Raw. And in his promo, he referenced the pipe bomb promo that he did. And it's basically saying nobody can touch him in the ring, touch him on the microphone, or even commentary. Nobody can touch him. And I've always been a fan of Punk. I've been going to OVW since 2002 when Punk was there for 8 or 9 months.
Yeah.
And loved it. That was the long black hair Punk.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Cena and Orton and Lesnar and Big Show, they all came from there. And look where they're at now.
Yeah.
Some of the biggest superstars in the WWE.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just his words, just says, I'm home. Mm-hmm. Like, he belongs in WWE, don't get me wrong.
When he
was in AEW, something felt off.
Yeah.
But when he came back to WWE, you're like, dang. Like, this is what we've missed. And he had the biggest pop at Survivor Series and Monday Night Raw when he came out.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go wrong.
I'd love to have been there. Especially with the drive only being, 2 hours to Nashville.
I would have drove to Nashville.
I would have loved to have been there. I've been to shows in Nashville and Bridgestone Arena, awesome arena right there. And just to see that place come unglued for CM Punk, oh my gosh. Wow.
Speaking of that, you guys might not know, if you keep watching the podcast, there might be a YouTube channel coming for vlogs. Something I've been thinking about. I haven't told Ryan about it yet.
Yeah.
Something I'm thinking about. We might do vlogs and go to events and stuff. Put them on YouTube for you guys. Bring more content. 2024 is looking big. But before we switch segments, when you talk about OVW and other things, I just want to point out that it's looking like Bray Wyatt's getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yes. Now, I'm glad you brought that up as well. Yeah.
What an incredible career.
Definitely. We actually did a tribute to him, I believe, the week or so after he passed. And, he really did have a phenomenal career. I had Victor on from the Ascension, and he talked about just working with Bray, and I have different friends of mine that have worked with Bray in the past, and that they talked about just what a guy he was even outside of the ring. And if they would have waited on putting him in, I wouldn't have felt right about that. I know he would have gotten in eventually, but the fact that they're going to put him in with this next 2024 Hall of Fame, that's saying something about Bray himself.
Me personally, he should be the headline.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I know you got your old school and all that, but if you really get into it, Bray should be the headline of the Hall of Fame.
Most definitely. Yeah.
And I see them, you know how they did the statue for Sting and Ric Flair and Cody's dad? Yeah. I see them doing a statue for WrestleMania Access for Bray.
No, I agree. I same here.
Going from Husky Harris to The Fiend?
To The Fiend, yeah.
The Fiend was the best character he's had.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all him.
Yeah.
WWE let him have full control over that character. And probably hands down one of my favorite versions, to him having Alexa Bliss with him at WrestleMania and him popping out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he feuding with Orton then?
Feuding with Orton, yeah.
And he was messing with Orton's head and having the mat light up as worms and bugs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You just can't go wrong.
No, you really can't. It's such a stellar career he had, and so versatile. He was definitely so versatile, for sure. Definitely missed, and definitely going to be great to see him get what he deserves.
Yep. Just like AEW did a phenomenal job with Brody Lee when he passed.
Yeah.
They put on one hell of a show for him.
Yeah, and honored his family too, and -1 and.
We'll Negative One's incredible. Come on now.
Yeah, yeah. He really is. Before we're getting into OVW here in a little bit, I want to also mention, I believe it was Ryan Cabrera, and speaking of someone who's familiar with Bray Wyatt, Alexa Bliss, they announced the birth of their, was it a boy or girl? I don't know.
It was a baby girl.
Baby girl, yeah. Congratulations to Ryan Cabrera and Alexa Bliss.
Speaking of babies, it's been a week for wrestling babies. So you got Carmella and Corey Graves.
And Corey Graves, yeah.
Sammy Guevara and Tay Mello.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's been a wrestling baby week, I guess.
Wrestling baby week, yeah. Must have all got pregnant at once.
Right.
What else we got for Raw over there?
That is all I've had, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, now we're going to
switch. Because they can't know CM Punk on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
So.
And what a promo that was with Punk. That was such a, you know, we talked about it. It was such a great promo. Such a, he is home. It was a welcoming back party, basically. You know, I love the, after he dropped the mic, he was like, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. It's go time, basically.
I think we're going to get, I think Daniel pointed this out too. I think we're going to get a while of PG Punk.
Yeah.
And then, just going to turn it, and we're going to get that heel Punk again.
Yeah.
Which is, hands down, one of my favorite Punks. The Paul Heyman guy Punk?
That Paul Heyman incredible. Guy Punk, yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
I want to see, like, go ahead. Brock Lesnar versus Punk versus Roman type of.
I was just going to touch on that. They touched on that. You have all three of those in the ring?
Yeah.
Put Paul Heyman in the middle, like they said.
Yeah.
Paul see Heyman where the wise man Max. Goes. See where the wise man goes.
Right, exactly.
This Punk didn't mention a wise man once told me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'll have to leave and come back to know your home.
The story's there. It's definitely there.
And there is a rumor, speaking of Raw, as much as I don't like him, Brock Lesnar's supposed to be returning to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I hate that. I don't hate the dude. That's I don't like that word, but
yeah,
I dislike the dude.
Dislike him, yeah.
I understand his the storylines with all the titles and stuff, but you can't always have a part-time champion.
No, you really can't.
You cannot. Like, take his ass back to UFC. Yeah. He likes to beat people up for real, so take him back to UFC.
Take him back to UFC. I mean,
if you notice, like, when he gets there. In the ring, he tries and hurts people. Like, it's not part, like, you can tell when something is part of the story or what they're supposed to do, or but sometimes you can tell he gets serious.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, enough of him.
I don't have a dog in a fight with Brock, but I mean, I don't dislike him or anything, but you know, he's there.
Yeah, I don't care much for him. Yeah. He's not a wrestler to me.
I feel that, though. I do feel that, though. Jumping over to OVW, and then let me just say, stick around to hear everything with OVW, because right after we get into OVW, we're going to announce we are going to announce our categories for the second annual Countdown Awards. The Countdown End of the Year Awards. The categories are going to be announced right here. We have two new ones this year. We're going to announce all of them. You should know if you've been listening and last year. You should remember the ones we had last year. We're going to have all those plus two more categories that we are announcing at the end after we review OVW here. So right now, jumping into OVW. This is, we have TW3 versus Will Austin kicking off the night, kicking off TV. We have TW3 goes to the top rope. Will Austin trying to pull him off, trying to pull himself up, pushes the ref into the ropes, causing TW3 to stumble to the turnbuckle. Blanco Loco runs out, puts a steel chair in the ring to distract the ref to think that Will Austin slid it in. And Loco slides in, hits a rolling back elbow on Austin, allowing TW3 to hit the rewind on Austin and win the opening match. So this was an amazing opening match. What a way to kick off OVW. And the story here with Blanco Loco has got some issues and beef with Will Austin. You know, going to be interesting to see what this is about. Then we have Ari Alexander versus Dream Girl Ellie. The Bad Girls, Tiffany Nieves and Layla Gray, make their way to the ramp to get a view of this match. Dream Girl Ellie wins the match by submission and submits Aria Alexander. So possibly a match between Dream Girl Ellie and Tiffany Nieves.
Shout out Dream Girl Ellie. She's phenomenal.
She really is. She's awesome. Then we have the Detroit Devil ZDP of the Fallen versus OVW Rush Division Champion Cal Hero. ZDP off the top rope. Cal ducks. ZDP goes to throw a fist, but Cal answers back with fist. Cal sends ZDP off the ropes into the turnbuckle, bouncing ZDP's head off all three turnbuckles from top to bottom. Cal scoop slam on ZDP, then goes to remove the knee pad. The Nephilim Damon Saladino up to the apron. He eats a right fist. In comes the Dark Reverend, and Cal throws him to the outside. ZDP with a back rake to Cal. Cal hits the FPK on ZDP for the win. And then Cal gets on the mic and he addresses Adam Revolver. And he asks for Al Snow to come out. Al comes out to the ramp and Cal says, at Christmas Chaos, he wants Adam Revolver's suspension to be lifted. And wants Adam Revolver in an ambulance match. To me, this is, of my knowledge, the first ever ambulance match that has happened in OVW history. So it's going to be awesome to see at Christmas Chaos this ambulance match and how they pull this off. And
let Cal beat the snake.
What was that?
Let Cal beat the snake, just saying.
Oh, yeah, Cal beat the snake. Yeah, send the snake to the hospital now.
Send you back to the trailer park if you get that reference. If you watch OVW, you'll get that old reference right there.
Right. Adam Revolver, Al makes it official, agreeing to lift the suspension of Adam Revolver, and says it will be Cal Hero versus Adam Revolver in an ambulance match. Al Snow is out again after the commercial. Al Snow is out again, and he asks that the OVW Women's Champion, Tiffany Nieves, comes out. She comes out with Layla Gray. Freya the Slayer comes out and says that Tiffany did an amazing job as special guest referee in her match against Hollywood Haley J last week at Thanksgiving Thunder, to which Al says he agrees, and he's inspired. And it's inspired him at Christmas Chaos when she defends the OVW Women's Championship against Freya the Slayer. He has a special guest referee for that match, and it's none other than Hollywood Haley J herself.
That's right.
I don't know, but I'm feeling that
Hollywood's turning heel and hitting Freya with the title.
Yeah, I feel like Haley is about to turn heel. Maybe possibly join the Bad Girls. I mean, where's Jada been? I don't know where Jada's been.
Yeah, where has Jada been?
So you have to wonder that. Yeah, you have to wonder what's going on there. There's supposed to be three of them. Possibly a turn coming from Hollywood Haley J. But we shall see. Then we have the first of the best of three series tag match to determine who's going to be the number one contenders for the tag team titles against Beaches and Cream. So this is Shira and Cashflow versus the Overmen, Luke Curtis and Joe Mack. Mack and Curtis attack Shira and Cashflow in the entranceway. Towards the end of the match, Shira with the sky high on Luke Curtis. The Cashflow is the legal man and goes up top for the payload on Curtis for the win. And Cashflow and Shira are up one in the best of three series between these two teams. So who's going to take out this? Who do you see being the number one contenders after this best of three series?
Cashflow and Shira.
For sure.
They're so over.
For sure.
I mean, it could go the other way. Don't get me wrong. I like Luke Curtis.
Yeah.
I don't like Joe Mack. Joe Mack. I don't like him so much. I mean, he's good, but like I like Luke Curtis. But
I definitely agree with you, though.
The love that Shira and Cashflow have for OVW.
Yeah.
I see them. They're so over, so I see them going back into that number one contender spot.
Definitely. Then we have the Destroyers versus Carson Drake and AJ Vets. So the Destroyers, though, in beef against Carson Drake and AJ Vest. Carson Drake scoop slams hits a scoop slam on Zoe, but beef with a side of beef on Carson. Carson goes for the pin, and surprisingly, Carson Drake and AJ Vest get the win over the Destroyers.
What an upset victory.
Yeah, definitely an upset. Like I said, surprising win here from Carson Drake and AJ Vest.
I'm surprised Josh Ashcraft didn't get involved. That is his boys, after all.
Yeah. He's I guess he's playing it cool now. he seems to be. And we have a 6-man tag opening up hour two. Jagette Bundles, Tony Evans, and Jay De Niro versus Ryan Von Rocket, Star Rider, and Manny Domingo going by another name. I didn't catch that name, but he's going by now, so excuse me, or my apologies for that. But Star Rider is being isolated from his team in the Hills Corner. Star Rider in the ring with the Get Bundles, trying to make the tag to his team. Bundles has Star Rider by the leg, but he rolls through to make the tag to Ryan Von Rocket. And Bundles tags in Evans. Von Rocket gets Evans in the middle of the ring after sweeping his legs out from under him. But De Niro tries to get in, and Von Rocket stops him. He hits Evans with a running knee, goes for a pin, but Bundles breaks it up before the count begins. Bundles and Evans throw Von Rocket off the ropes, but Star Rider with the blind tag to Von Rocket, meeting of the minds from Von Rocket. So Evans and Bundle, Star Rider again drop kicks both Evans and Bundles. Von Rocket clotheslines both of them by himself and Bundles out of the ring, or clotheslines both himself and Bundles out of the ring. Star Rider with a shotgun drop kick to Evans and goes up top to hit the Star Killer on Evans for the win, pinning the Kentucky heavyweight champion. So Star Rider picks up a huge victory over the current Kentucky heavyweight champion and Tony Evans. Could we see Star Rider getting another shot at the Kentucky heavyweight championship in the near future, possibly at Christmas Chaos? I'd love to see it. I mean, both former both are alumni of the podcast. So, definitely love to see these two go at it again, for sure. And love to see Star Rider get the Kentucky Heavyweight Championship, for sure. And then we have the returning. He has not been to OVW in, I don't know how many years it's been, but it's been quite a while. The Iron Demon Shane Mercer versus Mr. Spectacular Jesse Godders. Shane Mercer wants a test of strength, and both men each get strength over each other. We get Mercer with a wrist lock on Jesse. Jesse gets out of it and hits a scoop slam, then drop kick on Mercer. Jesse goes for the California crab, but Mercer gets to the bottom rope. Jesse throws Mercer off the top rope, but Mercer reverses, sending Jesse into the ropes. Jesse ducks again off the ropes and a crossbody on Mercer. Jesse goes for a crucifix pin on Mercer, but Mercer gets his shoulder up before the count starts. Mercer with a shot to the throat of Jesse. Mercer lifts Jesse up above his head, holding him with one arm, and military presses Jesse to the canvas. Mercer with Jesse in the corner goes for a chop, but Jesse ducks and chops Mercer. Jesse with a right hand to the jaw of Mercer in the corner. Mercer reverses and gets Jesse on the top turnbuckle. Jesse gets out of it, goes back in the ring through the ropes, and rocket launcher on Mercer off the top rope. Jesse clotheslines Mercer, belly to back suplex on Mercer, sidewalk slam on Mercer. Jesse drops the elbow on Mercer, goes for the spear on Mercer, but he moves out of the way and Jesse crashes into the ring post, shoulder first. Mercer gets Jesse on top. Gets Jesse on top on the top ropes and chops him. Mercer attempts the moonsault battery off the top ropes, but Jesse fights out of it. Jesse with a powerbomb on Mercer out of the corner, then hits him with the spear for the win. This was a phenomenal match. Back and forth, both men showing their power and agility even. And the commentators talked about this. I don't know if you saw the video where Shane Mercer had lifted bleachers. He lifted it above his head at an independent show. It's been like a year or so ago. And they mentioned that just to talk about the strength of Shane Mercer and what a match these guys put on, for sure. Jesse says he's going to take it upon himself to get his OVW National Heavyweight Championship back. Yes, to fight EC3. Yes, to fight for EC3's NWA World Heavyweight Championship and get it. Yes. Put the final stake in EC3's heart. Yes. So, looks like Jesse is continuing to go after EC3, and we'll see where he can get his hands on EC3 next, possibly at Christmas Chaos. Excuse me. Then we get OVW Heavyweight Championship match as the main event of the night. Shotgun Tony Dunn versus the veteran Jack Vaughn. This is another hard-hitting match right here. Vaughn clocks Gunn in the face with the championship before the match even starts. OVW staff and officials run out to check on Gunn to see if he can compete. Gunn refuses help and tells referee Daniel Spencer to start the match. Towards the end of the match, Vaughn walks out on the match. Referee gets to the count of 9, but Gunn stops the ref from counting, goes backstage to get Vaughn back out. He brings him back to the ring, championship still in hand, and Gunn grabs the championship, contemplating hitting Vaughn with it. While Vaughn tells him to hit him with it, and Gunn hands the championship to the referee, Gunn with the right hand, with the right and left punches, and chops Vaughn into the corner. Then with a knee to the face of Vaughn, Gunn goes for a neckbreaker with Vaughn on the ropes. Vaughn with snake eyes on Gunn. Vaughn off the ropes goes for a clothesline, but Gunn attempts to put Vaughn in the armbar. But Vaughn with his legs on the bottom ropes to cause the break. Gunn with suplexes on Vaughn. Vaughn tries to hit the referee after swinging for a punch, but the referee ducks. Gunn, another suplex on Vaughn, goes for another suplex on Vaughn again. But Vaughn attempts to get the ropes using his leg to low blow Gunn, winner by DQ, Gunn, but still OVW Heavyweight Champion, Jack Vaughn. Now, see, my initial thought before we got to the finish of this match was that we would see this be a countout victory for Gunn. I thought Jack Vaughn was going to get counted out. And I thought they was going to play it this way where eventually it's going to be like rules to where, and I feel like they're still going to go this way, but hear me out, that they were going to go with DQ. You can't get DQ'd or you know, you're going to lose the title. You can't get counted out, you're going to lose the title. So that's what I feel like is coming. But I thought they were going to end up doing that tonight where he gets counted out, or I'm sorry, on this episode, where he gets counted out, and then Al Snow makes it, you know, makes another match, makes a rematch for the next week. That if you get counted out, you're going to lose the belt. If you get disqualified, you're going to lose the belt.
Or I say, why not put him in a steel cage of Christmas Chaos?
And that would be good.
Can't run, can't get counted out.
And it's no disqualification.
Exactly.
That would be really good.
Have Gunn go over.
I feel like Gunn will be the next OVW Heavyweight Champion again. And then I feel like eventually, it's not going to be long, but Gunn will get the national heavyweight championship.
Oh yeah.
Is it, to my knowledge, well, no, other than cash flow, we haven't really had a local OVW guy as the OVW National Heavyweight Championship or champion yet. So I think that's just a matter of time before we do have that. And so that is this week's OVW review. And so we'll see where we go from here with that. And with that being said, I mentioned that we're going to go over and list, not necessarily go over, but we're going to list the categories for the second annual Countdown Awards, Countdown End of the Year Awards. Second annual. We started these last year again. So the first, we'll go with this one. The first one, we have Indie Wrestling Star of the Year. We have Indiana Star of the Year. Then we have Kentucky Star of the Year. We have Breakout Star of the Year. We have Tag Team Star of the Year. Female Star of the Year. Male Star of the Year. And then the new categories that we have. Referee of the Year. And Commentary Team of the Year. So those are our categories for the second annual Countdown Year End Awards. And this is for 2023. So yeah, it's going to be awesome to see who you all vote for. And on this last episode of 2023, we will discuss and go over the and not only review, but we will discuss and go over the winners and outcome of these polls. Just an announcement, the polls will be up. I'm going to attempt to have them up, if not Sunday, attempt to have them up sometime this week. And so we're going to get those polls together and get them posted on all of our social media, or at least get the links on all of our social media. And so, yeah, it's going to be awesome to see who you all pick. And we're going to give our own picks on that review show at the end of the year review show. And so don't miss it. Don't miss that show. Don't miss the coming shows. And it's just going to be an awesome ride as far as the final count goes. We got some big things on the horizon. We got some huge, huge things on the horizon. And I hope y'all stay tuned for the ride. Hope you all will continue to enjoy us and continue to be here for the ride. But before we go, we're going to jump into mentioning our sponsors. And before we mention our sponsors, I want to go ahead and mention that go ahead and subscribe to us on YouTube. If you're watching us here on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe to us. Give us hit that subscribe button. Click that bell so you never miss an upload. The notifications bell. Click it. You never miss an upload. Let your friends know about us. Go to Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram at the Final Count KY on all of those, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Or I should change that to X. I need to change that to X, but it's now X, formerly known as Twitter, at the Final Count KY on all of those. Then you can also, as it says at the bottom, facebook.com/ the Final Count KY on Facebook. Go give us some likes, some follows, share all of our social media stuff. And just, yeah, thanks for joining us on this ride. And let's shout out our sponsors and then we'll call this a wrap. So our first sponsor, we have a collarandelbowbrand.com. Use our promo code FINALCOUNTKY in all caps to save 10% at checkout. And let Alex know that the Final Count sent you.
Let's get into our second sponsor here. You go to WWEshop.com. Use our personal link down in the description of the episode below. And use that on WWEshop.com. Last but not least, let's get into this one. Head over to jcountyapp.com now to get your official Final Count hoodie and t-shirt.
The Black Friday stuff we can, and Cyber Monday stuff we can get rid of. But.
Yes, as they're not on sale no more. Is there still a discount?
The discount, no. So, yeah. I need to.
So just hop over to jcountyapp.com and get your official Final Count merch there.
Sorry about the discount stuff. If you saw that, and that was last week. But head on over there and get yourself your official The Final Count hoodie or t-shirt or both. Go over and support us. And like I said, join us for this ride. It's going to be an awesome year 2024. It's going to be an awesome finish to 2023. You got anything to say as we close?
No, pretty much you hit the nail. It's going to be an awesome year. We're going to end this one strong. We're going to start 2024 even better. I don't know why my camera's not focusing, but we're here. yeah, big things coming. As I mentioned earlier, I'm going to go over it with Ryan. We may start doing vlogs. Just stay tuned. Follow us on all social media as you see down here below. Right there. Follow us. You can personally follow me on Instagram at towtruck_Brian. You can follow me on TikTok at Dixon. That's DDIIXXOONN. So give me a follow there. I also personally do vlogs myself on YouTube. You can find that as towtruck_Brian. Be sure to follow Ryan's personal channel. Be sure to follow the Final Count KY channel. And just big things coming. You guys stay tuned. And we love doing this for you.
And with that being said, we will see you down the road.
Later, guys.
You can find us on social media by going to facebook.com/thefinalcountky on Facebook, and then on Instagram and Twitter at thefinalcountky, and on YouTube you can find all of our past episodes by just typing in the search bar The Final Count KY. Also, I mentioned we are now on more platforms for podcasts, such as Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, and also on iTunes. So be sure to check us out on all those platforms that you can find podcasts on. The Final Count is on all of those platforms that I just mentioned.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The wrestling brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connects emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.